God's good, isn't He? What an awesome God that we serve. Are you ready for the Word? All right. Turn in your Bibles as I get situated here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Praise you, Jesus. Verse 17. A three-word verse. We do not have very many three-word verses in Scripture. Amen. Now, there's a two-word verse. Anybody know the two-word verse in Scripture? Jesus wept. Everybody knows that one, I guess. Amen. Here's a three-word verse. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Now, we understand, in actuality, you cannot pray without ceasing. You got to stop praying to sleep. It's going to be hard. If I'm eating across the table from you, please don't be praying while you're eating. At least not during a bite. You can pray between bites. And there are other things you're going to be involved in. You can't pray at that time. But I believe what it means is have a lifestyle of disciplined, of addiction to prayer. Did you follow me on that? In other words, you are so connected to your relationship with God, you're always talking to Him. God is so real to you, His kingdom is so alive to you, that you're always in communion with Him. And you recognize the needs that are around you, and so you're always wanting to bring those needs to God in a form of prayer. See, a lot of people make prayer so legalistically. Well, it's prayer time, I have to go pray, you know, and you have your set, you know, rote prayers you pray, or, you know, somebody may count a string of beads or whatever. And all it is going through a legalistic works routine where you don't even know that God's really hearing. You don't feel for sure He's hearing you. Hallelujah. We're working through mic issues, as you can see. And so, in this situation, you know, where a person's legalistic in their prayer, it's not much fun. Prayer becomes works more than it is opportunity. Where you have to pray, you know, what you're required to pray. Well, you know, I don't want to come to my wife and say, well, it's my time, I have to talk to you. You follow me? God showed me I'm supposed to give you 15 minutes a day of conversation. So what do you got to say? I have my list here. Here's the things I want to say to you. Now, you better have a list or you better come up with something quick because you're on the clock. Did you follow me on that? Now, I believe in prayer times. You follow me? I believe, you know, assigned prayer times, I believe in that. But when you come to it, it still should be in a form of relationship. Amen. It shouldn't be that you're just doing your duty to God or that you think there's things you have to do to be right with God. So you're going through those motions. It becomes works and it becomes dead and dry. Prayer is to be a living, it's to be a lifestyle of communion with God. So I don't know about you, but I know about me. I'm praying all the time. If I'm not, you know, totally focused on something, I'm praying. If I'm in a supermarket, I'm praying. I'm in the Holy Ghost praying all the time. You know, so I'm praying in the Holy Ghost. I'm in tongues all the time. If I'm working in the garage, I'm in tongues. If I'm, you know, occupied on whatever assignment, I'm in tongues. And a lot of times not even aware of it. Because it's just my form of relating and communing with God. Or I'm talking to God all the time. Understand, prayer is more than just bringing God your list of petitions. Amen. And so a lot of people, when you start talking about praying, they get all, how can I say, a dread comes on them. Like, oh, I have to pray. I'd love being a Christian, but you just have to pray. You just have to pray. You don't understand what prayer is about then. Prayer is the opportunity to commune with your groom. Amen? With one that has saved you. Prayer is the opportunity to spend time just fellowshipping with the God of all creation. I was meditating a while ago, the God of creation. This is kind of a sidetrack. May not mean anything to anybody. But I started thinking about God's the God of creation. It says the first thing He created was light. Amen. He said, let there be light. And scientists have now come to find out that everything that's made, all of matter, is composed of light. The particles, you know, the atoms and the particles make it up, break down into light. It's just energy. When God spoke, so much energy was released and He put it in an organized form that allowed atoms to be developed, molecules to be made, and matter, you know, to be established. What a God we serve. So He's not just the God of creation. He's the God of metallurgy. Oh, hallelujah. Just dwell on that for just a second. He put in place the laws that let us have steel. Amen. He's the God of electrical principles. He's the one that put everything in place that we can have lights in here. He's the God of, you know, the trees and just everything that makes up this creation. Every physics law that exists, the God of gravitational force, He put those laws in place. Amen. And because He put them in place, He gave us authority over creation. We have authority over these things to the level we'll believe it. Amen. We can actually change the fabric of creation through the authority God gave us. Oh, hallelujah. And so, as the God of creation, amen, He said, I'm giving you opportunity through Jesus Christ to fellowship with Me. All through history, up to the cross, men dreamed of being able to talk to God. Oh, I see Your creation. I see how awesome You've made this entire realm we live in. I know there's a God. I know You're real. God, if I could just talk with You, if I could just hear You, if I could spend time with You. And they couldn't. Because sin stood between man and God for the most part. Amen? Now, God could still visit people. There were still opportunities through the priesthood and the prophet. But for the most part, man was cut off from God. But at the cross, God said, I'm fulfilling the harsh desire of multitudes past. I'm letting you fellowship with Me. Pray continuously is not so much a commandment, but an opportunity. To become God-minded, even God inside-minded, and spend time communing with the Creator of the universe. And whether you hear His voice come back or not, you still get to talk with Him. And whether you hear His voice or not, He will still make things real to you. He will still lead you. Amen. Actually, hearing His voice primarily is not hearing a voice, but hearing leading on the inside. And so when you think of the concept of prayer, we need to, if we're going to go into this high levels of intercession, we have to go into manifest the glory. If we have to go into this high level of communion, we need to let the glory flow out of us. We got to get beyond dread of prayer and get to the point where we recognize it as an opportunity and we embrace prayer. Amen. We live in a mindset of prayer. My wife used to get upset. Not anymore. She'd get upset because I was always praying in tongues. Amen. She say, why don't you talk to me? I says, well, ask me a question. I didn't always have the right answer. Amen. Until she got where she's praying like that all the time. We're talking to God all the time. And in that, we still get to talk to other people. And it keeps us connected to awareness of God in our life. Of God moving all around us. Now, in that praying continuously, it's out of relationship, but understand, we do have the opportunity to pray requests unto God. God says, you have not because you ask not. Right? He says, bring your requests unto God. Bring your petitions to God. He will not withhold anything from those who live uprightly. Right? And so, part of our prayer life is to bring our requests to God. Now, I brought this out last week, and we'll get to it again this morning. But God wants to fulfill our dreams. He wants you to fulfill. He wants to fulfill your dreams. I'm reading the Prosperity Phenomenon by Dr. Don Pickney, who was at the Word Rally. You guys remember Dr. Pickney? Anybody read that book yet, The Prosperity Phenomenon? Great book. Goes into some revelation that'll shake up a lot of stuff we believed in the past. But in that book, he starts bringing out how God wants you to enjoy material things. You follow me? Now, the Bible says love of money is the root of all evil, right? So we don't love money. And we don't love any created things above the Creator. But God wants you to enjoy the creation. He wants you to enjoy your car. He wants me to enjoy my Harleys. Plural. Jesus' name. He wants to enjoy your house. You just don't elevate those things. You don't go out there and, you know, bow down to your car. Oh, you're the greatest thing I've ever had. You enjoy the car, but you worship God. Amen. And you stay connected to God. So He wants you to have material things. But at the same time, through those material things, you may have things you desire. I have things I desire. Amen. My wife has things she desires. But above all, I desire my wife's list be filled. I mean, if it came down to, you know, me having a desire met or her having a desire met, I want her desire to be met. You know why? Because that's my desire. I want all pressure of lack off of her life. I want her to so see the fulfillment of what God spoke to us in our lives, that I want her needs met first. Amen. Then my dreams as well. We're not setting that aside either. Amen. And so God wants to meet our dreams. But God has a dream as well. He said He's coming back for a glorious bride. This is my dream woman. We're God's dream woman. He has dreamed about us from before creation. He created this entire realm, this entire earth and the universe in expectation of raising up out of it His dream girl, His glorious church, His dream bride. Amen? That's His dream. And everything He's doing throughout history, everything He's doing in His created realm is to orchestrate events to raise up this bride that He's going to be married to. Oh, praise God. We get to be that bride. Do you follow me? So we as His bride, He wants our dreams to come true. But us as His bride, we want His dream to come true. See, Patty wants me to have my dreams fulfilled. Above her dreams. Another faith statement. Amen. I want God's dream fulfilled. I recognize He created me. He saved me. He filled me. He's protected me. Amen. He's led me to the place where I'm to be. And I want Him rewarded with His dreams being fulfilled. So when I pray, I don't just pray for my dreams to be fulfilled. I pray for God's dream to be fulfilled. That the earth would be filled with a knowledge of the glory of the Lord, because they are full of glory. That His glory would be fully manifested, and His harvest would come in, and evil would be put down, and He would be able to gather His bride unto Him. So we don't just pray what we want. We just don't have our list of prayers. We pray what God needs as well. Last week we went through a whole list of things a lot of times we're used to praying for. You know, we have this prayer assignments from God. We're supposed to have prayer assignments with this prayer list we believe God would want fulfilled. So we were talking about praying for, you know, home and family and church and people in the hospital, people in the, you know, asylums, praying for the troops, for laws, legislation that, you know, pending. Praying over lawsuits that are in the Supreme Court or the lower courts. Praying for the school system, the finances of the city and the, you know, of the world, and praying for the poor, church resources, the pastors, praying for our food, praying over everyday obstacles, whatever's, you know, challenging us at the moment, the little fires, the little foxes, praying over China, Russia, Israel, all of Africa. You know, we have, you may know what I'm talking about. Not to mention abortion, homosexuality, religion, Hollywood, the arts, terrorists and cults. We could go on and on listing things that are potential prayer assignments, potential prayer concerns. And I used to do this. I would just pray and say, God, there is so much to pray for. You know, do I name the nations by name? Do I have to name their capitals? Do I have to name the presidents of the nations? Do I name everybody in the church by name and all their kids? And amen. Do I? It would be overwhelming in the pressure I'd feel of stuff I had to pray for. Stuff I felt I needed to cover in prayer. Not to mention all the types of prayer. You know, with, there was tongues, there was petitions, there was intercession, there was prophetic prayer, supplications, all these different kinds of prayer. I felt like I had to pray. And it would almost be like I started to dread to pray. Prayer time again. And it's like a list that can never be finished. When I was in college, I hated college. Hated it. And not that I hated learning, I just hated being made to learn. Do you follow me? I hated the structure of the classroom. First of all, I've always been my whole life, if I sit still for a few minutes and I hear somebody just in a monotone voice, I'm going to sleep. I pray it's broken in Jesus' name. But I've slept through every class I've ever had. I don't know if it's a low metabolism, whatever it is. You know, that's why I still look 25. And professors start teaching and I start going. Next thing you know, I'm zoned out. And for a long time, I just quit going to classes. Couldn't stay awake in them. Just give me the syllabus. Give me the book. I'll go take the test. Unless there's a class I had to go to, I just didn't go to classes. Couldn't stay awake in them. And I didn't like school because you never knew what was going to be on the test. So you didn't know if you'd studied enough or not. Especially in engineering, you didn't know if you'd studied enough or not. And so, you know, you might spend some hours studying and you think, oh no, I still got to study that other topic. I didn't cover all that. Oh, I haven't memorized what if that's on the test. And you always felt like you were unfinished. You always felt like you didn't do enough, especially when you got the test back. I surely didn't do enough. Amen. And so, when I got out in the, what we call the real world, and I got to clock out, at quitting time, I didn't do anything else. It was like I was free. My goodness, I can go to work at the set time. I get to leave at the set time. The rest of the time, I get to be drunk. I get to do what I want to, go where I want to. There's no pressure. See, you'd go to class. After class, there was always an undefined amount of study necessary. And you never felt like you'd done enough. I mean, in class, when I would turn on the TV, I'd feel guilty. I'd feel guilty like, oh my God, I should be studying. I'd go do something, I'd feel guilty, you know, like I should be studying. Not that it stopped me. I just lived in a lot of guilt. Now I'm going somewhere with this. I always felt like I was cheating, you know, the clock. Somehow I was cheating school because I wasn't studying. Not that I studied a whole lot. It was just that I lived under this guilt. And when I started working in a secular world, that lifted. It was gone. When my time was done, I was done. The time was mine. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? It was your time. It was like, the chains are gone. Until I got saved. Because now I'd go to work You know how to get off work. And now it was another undefined assignment. Pray continuously. Another assignment without boundaries. Another assignment that was another job I had to do. Once I got out of my other job, another job I had to do that was not clearly defined as what the requirements were. Pray continuously. And to me, it was a command. You follow me? And to me, it was pray continuously without definition of what to pray. So I felt I had to pray for everything. And so I'd finish praying and, you know, I'd pray for everything and I realized, oh no, I did not pray for the law. I forgot to pray for the other law. I didn't pray for abortion today. I didn't pray for that. And I feel like, oh my goodness, God, please don't throw me out of heaven. Just don't kick me out of your kingdom. Amen. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Because I hadn't prayed for everything that potentially could be prayed for. And I'd go for weeks and I hadn't even prayed for any nations. All I prayed for is my wife. She takes all the prayer I got. Amen. Fully focused on that one. God, forgive me. And prayer moved from being an opportunity to commune with the Creator, to talk with Him about each other's needs and each other's dream assignments, to a job. And it wasn't just a regular job, because I already had a regular job. It became another job. And another job on top of that because of the ministry assignments. And then I'd go and hear the evangelists come through and preach about how you ought to be leading at least 2 people to Jesus every day, you know? Huh? How do I do that when I'm praying continuously? Amen? And it was almost an anger would rise up against the assignments of being a Christian. Because it was becoming law to me. It was becoming expected requirements of God to be approved of Him. Understand, He's made us the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're now free from the law, right? But these assignments. And then God started showing me that when you're praying, He wants to lead you. The Bible says, if you be led of the Spirit, then are you the sons of God. And He wants to lead you in what to pray for. Now, of course, He's going to have you pray for your family. He's going to have you pray over your marriage. You know, you follow me. He's going to have you pray for your pastor. Rebecca's saying Zuh. She put a Zuh on the end of it. And Pastor Chad. Pray for your pastors. That's an assignment because it's required to have the church go into what it's going into. Amen? But what I found out is the enemy is an expert at getting us into legalism and giving us prayer assignments or making us feel bad when we didn't pray. He'll tell us, you didn't pray for that one. Because he knows if he can get us to dread prayer or to resent prayer, we will start to move away from God's opportunity to pray continuously. Amen. See, one of the best ways to pray all the time is to pray in the Spirit. I got about 5 different things I'm trying to juggle right here to get where we're going. Is to pray in the Spirit. The Bible says when you pray in tongues, you pray in the perfect will of God. I like knowing when I pray, I'm praying the perfect will of God. I can work in the garage and be praying and have no concept of anything about what I'm praying about. I can be thinking, okay, get this bolt out of this item. What tool do I need? And be praying in tongues. God's saying, use that over there. You follow me? Or it could be God's got me praying for Kenya. Or praying for Israel. I don't know. By praying in tongues, I'm letting Him orchestrate what I'm praying. But when you get into a vein of praying in the Holy Ghost, it becomes a delight. Not only that, the Bible says when you do it, it charges your spiritual battery. See, when you come to intercession, we say, okay, we're going to pray today from 4:30 to 5:30. All of a sudden, now you're on the clock, it becomes work. Some level, you follow me? praying for an hour. Oh, Rabba Sataka Rabba Sotoshi Rabba. And it's like you can't do anything else. You're locked in right here. And there's a tendency in our mind to make it, okay, I'm on the clock, I'm back at work. Versus realizing through this time, God's opening up a portal for us to pray in unison to Him for His assignments. Amen? Because He's orchestrating it. And take it as an opportunity versus work. Do you follow me? Don't look at it as I have to do this. I get to do this. I get to pray in God's dream for these end times. So understand, I'm not saying don't come to 4:30 prayer or 5:30 prayer, depending on the day. Come and take it as opportunity. But in your daily life that you're going through, you can pray in tongues all the time and become so, I keep using the word addicted because, you know, it is scriptural, right? Who was it addicting himself to the ministry? Amen. To the saints? Someone had addicted themselves, the King James says, to the ministry of the saints. You can be addicted to ministering to God. Where it just becomes your routine. Where you prayed in the Holy Ghost so much it just comes out of you naturally, even though it's supernatural. And through your day, you don't have to be aware you're praying in tongues. You're thinking about what you're praying as. You're just praying and you're already in communion with God and you're praying for whatever He wanted done. So when it comes time for your assigned prayer time, you know, that you're going to speak things in English, you may not have to pray for Israel. God already had you pray for Israel in the Spirit. You follow me? What you want to do in your prayer time is say, God, what would you have me pray for? What is your assignment? And as He drops things in you, pray for those. And do not feel guilty for what God doesn't show you to pray for. This is a key statement this morning. Because I used to feel so guilty when later I think of something I didn't pray for. Oh God, I'm sorry I didn't pray for that. He didn't show me. So many times when God shows you somebody's face, or so many times when God, you know, drops something in you, and you think, well, that's an interesting concept. It's really a prayer assignment. You know, somebody comes up and says, you know, I was thinking about you this morning. It's funny, I see, I was thinking about you this morning. Did you pray? Because when God shows you somebody, it's probably a prayer assignment. Versus just that, well, I thought of you and I just had a fond, you know, a fond warm fuzzy just came on me. It's the anointing, pray. See, again, I have to talk about my marriage because that's where a lot of my experience comes out of. But one of the lessons we've had to learn in our marriage is I am not a mind reader. And I'm not responsible for the tasks you didn't tell me needed to be done. Amen. So she can't come to me and say, why didn't you paint the bedroom? You didn't tell me to paint the bedroom. Well, you should have known the bedroom needed to be painted. It's been that color for 15 years. Why would I think it needs to be changed today? Now, this has not happened. I'm just giving you an example. Are you following me? She can't come to me and say, you didn't paint the bedroom because she didn't assign me to paint the bedroom. You follow me? I've done one piece of decorating myself in the past 28 years and got in trouble for it. I went up in our TV room. We have an upstairs bedroom that we've converted just to a lounge with a futon and TV up there that the guests that are with us or the kids go up there and watch TV. And somebody gave me, What do they call those things? Fat something? Fat heads. Y'all ever seen the fat head stuff? The big logos and everything? Somebody gave me a giant, I'm talking about giant, Tennessee football helmet logo. She was gone with it. I slapped it on the wall, right there in the back wall. She was, what is that? I said, that's decor. I don't like it. Hey, you decorate a whole house, I get one wall. Be glad it's not in the bedroom. That shut it right there. The threat I might move it into the bedroom, that ended it right there. The point is, I'm not responsible for what she didn't tell me to do. I'm only responsible for her other infinite list. She prays. She's praying, God, give me revelation what else I can have Jack do. What else? I watched it. I watched him the other day. He was just sitting on the couch doing nothing. He needs work. I heard a comedian once say that there's only one thing a woman cannot tolerate, and that's her husband doing absolutely nothing. Not producing nothing. She got an infinite list. Amen. And so, if she doesn't tell me about it, I'm not responsible for that assignment. I got enough to do without trying to come up with ones. But yet we carry that into prayer. I'm not responsible for what God didn't tell me to pray for. What He didn't show me to pray for. So if I didn't pray for, Mexico, or I didn't pray for, Brazil, or I didn't pray for, whatever area there might be, I'm not responsible for that. Because I am to be led to the Spirit. God knows my name. He knows my address. He knows the number of hairs on my head. He knows the needs of the world. He is the orchestrator of intercession. It is His opportunity to show me what to pray for. And to try to just pray everything in the world, they may be needs, but they're not my assignment. And God's got enough other people in the world He can tell to pray for that. Faith begins. We've heard this before, right? Faith begins where the will of God is known. See, you have a whole Bible of God's Word. And if you get that Bible and you'll find what God has said, you can make a faith connection to that and stand on what God has said. If you don't have a Word, you have nothing to stand on. Well, if I don't have a Word from God what to pray for, how do I make a faith connection to it that that's going to happen? But when God shows it to you, or He speaks it to you as an assignment, you know, because God gave it to you as an assignment, when you speak it, you will have authority in that area to see the supernatural come to pass. Versus you just take prayer as the assignment. I've got to pray for everything all the time. Never get to have any fun. I tried to watch Andy Griffith the other day and I couldn't even enjoy it. I kept hearing, Barney saying, nip it, nip it. And all I can think is, I got to nip some stuff in prayer. God wants you to enjoy your life. In Ecclesiastes, it says that man should eat, drink, and enjoy the blessings of life. It's not supposed to be miserable. You follow me? Just do what God says to do. My wife, she's always saying, why'd you do that? I said, well, I just thought it needed to be done. I didn't tell you to do that. Is that on my list? Check your list. Is that what I gave you to do? Why'd you do that? Didn't really happen like that, but why am I going to go doing stuff in the house, Well, Patty, I just repainted all the rooms in the house while you're gone. I didn't tell you to paint those rooms. I didn't tell you what color to paint the rooms. Now you're going to repaint every room because you didn't do it like I want. It's not really like that, but you follow me? Why am I going to do what's not on the list? I am making work for myself. If I do what's not on the list and it's not what she wanted, she's not going to be happy. So the dream wife, spouse that I have, I am disappointed because I'm doing the wrong task. She's happy when I find out what her tasks are and the priorities of them. Did you follow me? I can't go, Patty, I put a new roof on the house today. That was priority number 7. I had 6 other things I need you to do before that. Make her sound mean, don't I? Understand I'm making all these things up. You understand? Amen. Understand? I'm glad she got a sense of humor. I'd be in trouble. Some of them are going, how does she put up with that stuff? I'll make it up to her later. I'd do the list. Just tolerate my preaching and I swear I'll fix the toaster, you know. Why am I going to do what's not on the list? And God in communion with us will give us our list. And when you've done the list, enjoy life. And if you need something to pray something else, just do it in tongues while you're doing whatever. God wants you to enjoy life. How do you enjoy life when you have an undefined, wide open assignment on your life that's never done? Did you follow me? In my marriage, I love my wife. And she's a worker. So I'm going to get some points back now. This woman is a worker. I mean, she works here, you know, at the job. She goes home and does all the cooking and cleaning and laundry and, you know, list making and a lot of work. Plus the assignments of ministry, prayer and all the stuff that goes with that. She is non-stop work. Finally, I'll go home and I'll say, you know, it'll be 10 o'clock. And I said, Patty, will you sit down? Just sit down. Well, this needs to be done. This needs to be. She's a worker. Amen. So the last thing I want to do is she sits down finally at 10 o'clock at night. I mean, spent. I say, Patty, have you polished the silver? You could be polishing the silver right now while you're sitting down. Did you iron all my clothes, you know, that just got wrinkled just sitting in the closet? Have you ironed, you know? I'm not going to make up jobs. I want her sitting down way before 10 o'clock at night. You follow me? I want her just to be free from the eternal demands of just maintaining life. I want her to enjoy life. And don't you think God feels the same way about us? Don't you think that God wants you to enjoy this creation and this salvation experience He's brought us to? We're not supposed to be the most miserably overworked people on the planet. We're supposed to be the most relaxed and fulfilled people on the planet. He says, access my promises, you enter into my rest. God wants us in the rest. He said, fear lest you leave a promise of God unfulfilled that you can't enter into His rest. He wants us rested. He wants us enjoying life. But as long as you have this mindset that God's a hard taskmaster saying, okay, pray continuously, and make sure you don't left anything unprayed. What I pray, God, hey, you ought to know by now. Everything. And finally, you prayed everything. Of course, anybody been like I have in the past, especially early on in prayer, you go to pray, God, I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray 30 minutes. And about 5 minutes, you prayed everything you could think of. You were going through your list. God, I pray for the troops. I pray for the nations. I pray for the United States. I pray for the president. I pray for the Secretary of State. I pray for they need prayer. And in 5 minutes, you were done with everything you could think of. That's when you go into tongues. Amen. But as you develop in learning how to commune with God in prayer, even in the Spirit, when I'm walking praying in the Spirit, I'm thinking, God, show me your assignments. Show me what to pray. And I'll pray in the Spirit until I get something. And I get it, I'll pray it. And then I'll go back into praying in the Spirit. And then you learn how to know when you are praying for something, when the assignment's finished, when it's lifted. And when God says, okay, now go enjoy life. How to intermix praying in the Spirit all through your day, no matter where you are. This becomes so much a part of you that at work, at the market, I'm talking about on a golf course, wherever you're at, you're praying in the Spirit. I love the story of, I don't remember who all it was, but it was like, you know, Oral Roberts, all these guys all went golfing. Supposedly a true story. And they took Dr. Cho from Korea, who was out there in the Holy Ghost big time. And they're out there, and you know, they hit their long drives. I don't know who the other guys were. Hitting their long drives after, oh yeah, nice shot. Dr. Cho gets up there and just goes, oh, Rabba Sanda, Rabba, hits it. It may have went 30 feet. He walks up, oh, Rabba Sanda, just hits it again. He could care less about the golf game. He was out in the Spirit just knocking the ball, praying in tongues. Amen. Probably lost track of how many strokes on the first hole. Again, I heard this is a true story. I don't know it for sure. But the point being is, he was just caught up in God. That was his focus. But enjoying the golf course. There's the one out there so serious about it. Make a bad shot, and now they're mad the rest of the day. That must have been a special word for somebody. Again, learn to pray out of relationship. Learn how to just take advantage of the opportunity versus consider it a have to. Well, I got to pray every morning. You get to pray every morning. God gave me my prayer time. You know, 6 in the morning. Then pray it. But do it as opportunity. You're meeting with God. See, when I'm going to my prayer time, I like to sit down and say, God, okay. Me and you, let's talk. And commune with God. And if He shows you something great, if He didn't show you something that's great too, because you still prayed what He was dropping in you. I found that if I pray very long in the Spirit, I start getting specific direction. Stuff starts dropping in me to pray for. I'll be praying, this afternoon I'll be praying, and probably be praying, all of a sudden God will say, or it'll drop in me, finances. Father, I lift up the finances church right now, and every member of it, I think that people prosper. Everything they put their hand to prospers, it all produces 100-fold, and I'll pray that out. And once I pray that out, I'll go back to praying, oh, Rabba Sitiya, Rabba Sunda, and God, you know, healing. Father, I pray healing over this church and covering over this church, and every sickness and disease has to leave this church. It's a healing saying, and I pray that until, and utterance will come. You follow me? And then you go to the next opportunity to pray in the Spirit till you get something. And if you finish the time you felt you were assigned to pray, and God didn't show you something, you're not responsible for what's not on His list. Do you follow me? Now we'll get to talking about some of the things that are on God's list that you are supposed to pray about. But quit trying to believe that every time you pray, there's 4 million things you have to cover. I mean, I've talked to people that say, when I pray, I name every nation by name. I got a whole list. I read every nation. Well, hopefully that's God's assignment for you. Otherwise, you may just be bringing vain repetitions forward with no faith connection. Find what God told you to pray over. Amen. So let prayer become a communion opportunity versus an assignment, a laborious assignment. Amen? Because you are stepping into what the ancient men of God of past days, if that's kind of superfluous, with the old-time prophets, dreamed of doing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine you got, you know, David or Samuel or even Elijah, some of the great old prophets, and they saw you praying, saying, God, I got to pray. They're going, you've got an open heaven with God, and you're looking at it as like it's a job. they would have dreamed to have this opportunity. Would have delighted to have this opportunity. David, who wrote so many of the Psalms, that definitely had encounters with God, amen, that knew God, never had the relationship opportunity we have. Never was born again, never filled with the Spirit, never could pray in tongues. Never had the promise of God. Every day he could get up and talk with God and hear God. And we do. He would love to have this opportunity. See, if we're going to go into this place of learning to pray continuously, we have to get over the dread of the assignment of prayer. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? We got to get out of the works mentality regarding communion with God. God saved you to deliver you from works, from dead works, right? To serve the living God. Then you want to turn the opportunity to commune with the living God into a labor of legalism? Next time you pray, try it. Say, God, I'm not praying anything that I conjure up. I'm going to pray what you give me to pray. And watch what he starts showing you. He may show you to pray for Russia. You follow me? Then pray it. And stay in that vein until, you know, you believe you've exhausted everything he's showing to you, because he'll keep giving you utterance in a specific area. In other words, say God gives you Russia. Say, Father, I lift up Russia right now. I just lift it up. And as you stay in that listening mode, it'll drop in. And Father, lift up Moscow to you. And Father, lift up Rick Renner's church to you right now. In Jesus' name, bless that church. Let there be an outpouring. And stuff will drop in you. And then once stuff stops dropping in you, pray in the Spirit, see if you can go on and pray until you get something else. See, that's the way God wants to orchestrate intercession. Is versus everybody praying everything all the time and feeling weighed down by it. Just pray His assignment, His list, His honey-do list. You follow me? And enjoy it. I have currently no hobbies. I don't fish. Used to be addicted to fishing. I don't golf. I mean, I shouldn't say I don't. I'm not, you know, hooked on golfing. Haven't swung club in over a year. So, I'm not hooked on golfing. I'm not hooked on any activity. Don't play softball anymore. Don't play baseball anymore. Nothing. You know what I do? I fix stuff at the church. Not anymore, because I'm free from that. And I fix stuff at home. And my greatest delight is to go to Patty and say, Patty, the thing on your list, I finished that. We went out Friday. She said, we need new faucets for the bathrooms in the house. I said, why? The others work. They're nasty looking. Look like they're from the 80s. Need new faucets. Patty, do you recognize that's an assignment for me? Amen? You asked me to take, you know, 17-year-old faucets out of the house, which is not a fun job. I hate doing faucets. And so we went out, picked out new faucets, took them home yesterday. I put in faucets. But my delight is I can go to her and say afterwards, I did your item. Did it. God. You should be happy now. I did the item. My hobby, it's her fix-it list. My hobby is trying to finish stuff for her. You follow me? Whether she appreciates it or not, she does. So I throw that one in. My desire is to see what she wants done, completed. Because if she's happy, happy wife, happy life, amen. Fulfilled wife, fulfilled husband. And so, I believe God's the same way. Just do my list. and I'll do your list. You meet my dream needs, I'll meet your dream needs. So pray what I assign you to do. Amen? And enjoy your days. Oh, praise God. God says to enjoy your days. Enjoy what God's provided for you. We're running out of time here, so I don't have time to go much deeper. Let's go one more place. See, when you enter into this place of legalistic prayer, of an infinite prayer list, your attitude can become hopelessness. What's the use? No matter how hard I pray, there's always something else to pray. And I always have to pray for China. Amen. Pastor Sherry shared a testimony lately. Some time back, God told her to pray for Cuba. Pray for Cuba. Why? Why are you praying for Cuba? Why not, you know, the rest of South America and Central America? Why not all the islands in the ocean? Why not all the nations? God told her to pray for Cuba. She'd been praying for Cuba as an assignment for some time. And now it looks like an opening may be rising up for her to go minister in Cuba. God orchestrated. God assignment versus just making up your own assignments. But when you get legalistic about prayer, it can become hopeless. It can create hopelessness, and all of a sudden you just don't want to do it anymore. Just don't want to pray. I don't think you ought to have to pray like that. You don't have to. You get to. Move out of that mindset of prayer being a hard labor by a cruel taskmaster that's assigned to you. Here I am in the world. At 4:24 originally, my day was done with IBM. 7:24 to 4:24, my original schedule. There's so many employees, they let people out at 12-minute intervals for traffic purposes. 4:24, my day was over. I'm partying. Told her in here, now that I'm saved. 4:24, I'm done with IBM. But now, I gotta pray. Now, I gotta get in the Word. Now I gotta go to church. Then I gotta pray some more. And I can't turn TV on because then God will throw me out of heaven. And He saved me for this. Listen. Come to church. Forsake not the assembling yourselves together. You follow me? Be in a church. Pray. Get in the Word. But there's opportunities to live above. There's opportunities to see God's dream come true. As His spouse, to see His dream come true. Not as this is what God's making you do so you can get to heaven. Or making you to do, you know, because now you're a Christian, you got to do all these things. Years ago, it's right after I was saved, I just felt this. How can I say this? You get the right understanding. I felt that now that I was a Christian, I had to pray all the time. Like I've been talking about. That if I wasn't praying, I was letting God down. Virtually, I felt if I was not praying or doing something for the kingdom, I was disappointing God because He gave me all these minutes in my day and I was using it for something other than, you know, a kingdom assignment. And so it was Saturday morning. I'd get up early to pray. And I would pray from the time I got up and pray after till afternoon. And I remember one Saturday morning I was praying. And I thought, And it was on into the day a little bit. And I said, there's a ball game on. I wonder, I think it was Alabama-Notre Dame. Alabama scorched them, by the way, that day. And I thought, I wonder who's winning that game. And I thought, no, I can't look at the score. I can't look at the score because I'm praying. And God be mad at me if I look at a football score while I'm praying. I'm serious. This is my mindset. Nobody taught me righteousness. I hadn't learned anything about liberty. And I remember fighting that feeling for about an hour or so. And finally I said, I'm just going to check the score. I turned the game on, saw the score, turned it back, I went back to praying. And within a just short time, I heard a crash. I heard, crash. Ran out the front door. You remember the thing with the Audis where they would accelerate themselves? The lady that lived diagonally across the street from me, Korean lady, had backed her Audi out of the driveway. Actually, she was in the garage, put her car in reverse, started to go. It accelerated full speed all the way down her driveway, slammed in the car behind her on the street. So she panicked, threw it in drive, burns black marks all the way up her drive, goes off, she veers to miss her garage, veers, hits the neighbor's house, hits the chimney, killed her. She didn't die instantly. I actually was the first one on the scene because I'm right there. I heard it. I'm out the door. I pull her daughter out of the car in the passenger seat. Somebody else is there right away, pulls her out of the car on the passenger, and she's not got a scratch on her. And so the paramedics are called, and, you know, she's sitting there in a lot of pain, a lot of discomfort, and basically she had hit the steering wheel, and it just destroyed everything on the inside of her. She died in the ambulance right in front of the house. I thought she was going to be fine. They said, no, she died. And I said, God, sorry, I looked at that score. Because I didn't pray continuously, and I looked at the ball game score. That woman got killed. And I carried a guilt over that until I realized how ridiculous that was. I mean, it took some time. Realize how ridiculous that was that I killed a woman because I checked the ball game score. What kind of a God is killing people because you look at a ball game score? Now I know this sounds ridiculous. I'm telling you, that's a personal testimony from me. Because I felt this pressure of having to pray continuously. Until I learned who I was in Christ Jesus, learned that God wants me to enjoy life, got a hold of the righteous revelation, and then learn to pray on assignment. I have a prayer time. I pray before services, pray all night Friday nights. I'm a prayer. You follow me? I believe in prayer times. I believe in being disciplined and diligent when God gives you prayer times. But not legalistic, because if you miss it, people are going to die. God will raise his hands to pray if you miss a prayer time. You follow me? God's not, you know, got you on the clock. He checked that 2 minutes early. Kill somebody. We have got to move to the place of enjoying and embracing the opportunity of prayer. And what we're going to get into this, as we've really alluded to a few times, is if you can learn to pray tops down versus bottoms up, it will alleviate a lot of the pressure or wonder anyway. Just pray in God's glory. If we get to glory and it fixes all the other little fires. Just pray the glory in. Learn to pray for the glory. Praise you, Jesus. And learn to pray God's assignments versus all the needs you see. So I got in the trap of just praying needs. And as Christians, we're experts at telling everybody the needs in the kingdom. I mean, we get the letters that tell us all the legislation that's up for vote. Have you prayed for this? Well, alcohol in Scott County, have you prayed for this? Need to, I guess. All the killing and the robbing and the evil in the world, you need to pray for all that. And it virtually can become overwhelming trying to pray all the needs. People come in this shop all the day, every day. You know, we have the bookstore, they come in every day, coffee shop. Oh, you're a church? Can you pray for my uncle? Can you add him to your prayer list? I'll just say it on the spot. What's his name? They'll tell me, Jesus, I pray for him right now. I'll pray right there. Not like that, but I'll pray it. Amen. Now, you made a request. I prayed it. I don't have to be concerned about that one anymore. Versus, you know, add her uncle to my permanent prayer list. And Father, don't forget that stranger that came in's uncle. And his wife and kids as well. There's no end unless you learn to pray assignments. To enjoy it and embrace it. And if God doesn't give it to you on the list, you're not responsible. You're not responsible for what's not on the list. And the last thing I want to do is add things to my wife's list that's already infinite in length. Amen. Her list is like out of the horror movies, where you got the evil creature, you know, and when you kill it, you finally kill it, it splits in two, becomes two of them. Every time I kill off a thing off the list, it just multiplies. The patio. My goodness, the patio. We moved into the house, and it was one of our anniversaries, and I found at Sam's Club, had a fish pond. $109. Dual fish pond, had a fountain in it, and you could waterfall them together. I thought, I'm going to bless my wife. I bought that fish pond. Took it home, she loved it. We found a place to put it. I spent a whole Saturday digging that thing out, you know, putting it in the ground, you know, setting it all up. She goes, "We really need a patio around it." Put the patio around it. You know, she says, "You know, it'd be better if the deck walked into the fish pond, into the patio area versus walk there in the grass. You got to rebuild the deck." Well, it needs a fence around it now so kids can't fall in the fish pond. Build the fence. Tell you what. Not to mention the care of the fish pond all the time. It's got a fountain on it. And algae grows in fish ponds. And algae plugs up filters for fountains. Every day. That fountain ain't running right. It's running. I like the umbrella off the fountain coming over smooth and like this size and everything. Water is going through it. Clean filters, clean the fish thing, got to get it all in that mess again. And it lasts for about 24 hours. Jack, there's one area of the umbrella it's not coming out fully on. Fish pond from hell, I'm telling you right now. She said to me not too long ago, she said, "We need to take that fish pond out. And, you know, we need to take that back out. And, you know, I don't know if she wants to put a hot tub down there or just make a bigger patio or whatever." I said, "Patty, that fish pond ain't moving. I got 40 bazillion hours tied up in that thing. I ain't touching it." Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Well, did you get anything out of this today? Praise you, Lord God. Learn to enjoy Christianity versus be that open-ended job you're never done with. I don't read the Bible because I have... Well, I read the Bible. I'll make sure I read the Bible, even if it's on a have-to basis. But I prefer to read the Bible because I want to. And I want to because I want to be full of God. I want to be full of faith. Amen. I want the anointing energized. I don't read it because it's an assignment of God. And if I don't do it, God's going to throw me out of heaven. I do it because I love God. And I commune with God through that Word. Learn to enjoy being in God's kingdom. Stand your feet with me. Let's worship God here and see how He wants to continue in this service.